5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we are full throttle ahead. Welcome to today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, NFL Draft on the horizon. Nothing better. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for draft night. Just about 5 or 6 hours away, gentlemen. We know about Trayvon Walker being the number one overall pick in the draft. He's minus 450 now. But I heard Scott say prior to our show that they didn't pick up the offer in terms of Daniel Jones's fifth year. And, gentlemen, I do want to pose the question, is there the potential that one of these quarterbacks, Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, maybe get selected in the top five, George?
It's always potential, right? Quarterbacks always get overvalued, and there could be a team that would go up. I mean, you look at the top five picks. You look at that. I mean, we know Jacksonville's not taking it at one. I don't think Detroit's doing it at two. Houston would seem unlikely at three. Jets, no, at four. It would have to be the Giants. If you go with the teams that are currently in it, it would be the Giants at five, and I don't see them doing it. I think that DeBoer and Sean, they know they're a couple of years away. And if they don't love any of these quarterbacks, and I don't think they do, I think they're going to take the two best players. They're probably going to stink again this year, and they'll take a quarterback next year with a stronger draft. Would I be shocked if the Giants do take a quarterback? But they won't do it at five. Maybe it's seven if they're truly in love with somebody. But we all live in the New York area, right, Scott? And I are on Long Island. Joe, you're in Jersey. We're all in the Newark area. If the Giants were to take a quarterback, it would be the best cover-up ever because we haven't heard anything about the Giants taking a QB. Anything.
Totally agree.
Scott, team trading in.
Scott, I want to ask you this because I saw this in terms of the FanDuel odds. They have Malik Willis tied to the Giants and not Kenny Pickett, the Jersey kid. Isn't that a little stunning when you think about it, that if Malik Willis could go to the Giants and it originally was 14-1, it's now 20-1, that's a little ironic considering that Malik Willis was considered the first quarterback off the board about a month ago, and now the Giants are maybe in the potential for Malik Willis and not Kenny Pickett. Just doesn't make any sense as you break it down from an odds perspective.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would be interested in Malik Willis. I think he's going to be awful. I think he's going to be out of the league. I don't even think he's going to be good enough to be on the bench, for goodness. You take out his numbers and you tell me NFL quarterback, and I'll tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. So I don't see it. I could see Pickett, Jersey guy. You know, should that really matter? Ultimately, no. But does it sometimes? Yeah, it does. You know, this regime, don't forget, this is not the same GM. They didn't draft Danny Dimes, not the GM. He's gone. Head coach is gone. As I mentioned in a previous show, they haven't picked up the fifth-year option, which is really surprising to me. You know, if you were going to trade him, if there was a guy that you wanted to hand the reins over to and start really fresh, kind of like what the Jets did, you know, what would you take for Danny Dimes? Would you take a second-round pick? Would anyone offer you a third-round pick knowing you have him locked up for the next 2 years? But I could see them changing guard. Absolutely. I mean, no one's excited about Daniel Jones. Who's buying tickets for Giant games knowing Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback again next year?
Well, I said this to George yesterday. I said, you know, if you're Atlanta, you're Seattle, and you have Drew Lock and you have Mariota respectively, it's just a Band-Aid, right? You need to get a quarterback of the future to develop your teams. The longer you wait, you push back the organization another 2 or 3 years. So if you're Brian Daboll and you can't get the most out of Daniel Jones, why not get a quarterback? And now I agree with you about Willis, but let's just say it is Pickett. At least you could groom him for a year or so, get him ready for next year where your number two with Brian Daboll is now where you're starting to progress. The biggest change from a first-year head coach is year number one to year number two. You weed out the players that fit your scheme in year one. Year two, now you're locked, ready. Now we can progress to try and get some wins to maybe challenge for a division title. So it will be interesting. I'm curious to see how this plays out tonight. Now, I do want to ask this question. Is there any shot that maybe potentially Aiden Hutchinson is the player that falls the most? And what I mean by that is he was solidified in the top spot for basically 2 months. Now it's Trayvon Walker on FanDuel at minus 450. And now when you look at the second overall slot for Aiden Hutchinson, he's only minus 175 with Kayvon Thibodeau right there as well. So is the potential for Aiden Hutchinson, Scott, to fall maybe outside the top five in play later tonight?
Outside top five? I don't think so. I don't think he would fall that much. Could these draft picks be wrong that much on a guy? You know, you think about who's fallen over the years, and it's generally been quarterbacks. You know, you got Larry and Vitunsel with the bong picture and everything, but that you know, was circumstances that were different. I don't think we have that with Aiden Hutchinson. These guys generally don't fall that much. Quarterbacks, yeah, you know, running backs maybe, but I don't think he would fall out of the top five, Joe.
Minus 175, George. Would you take a shot on Thibodeau at number two? I'm sitting on an 8-1 ticket for Houston at number three, and now Thibodeau is a 10-1 shot for Houston in that slot with Derek Stingley Jr. at plus 175. Do you think Hutchinson, George, goes to Detroit in the number two slot tonight?
I don't think there's any way the Lions are going to pass on Hutch. He's from Michigan, be the hometown boy, and I think they'd love to have him anyway. Even if he wasn't from Michigan, I think they'd like to have him. You can make a pretty good argument that he is the best player in this draft. I think his upside is probably limited. I think that's why Walker is going to go number one, because he has the higher upside. The problem is he also has a little bit lower floor as well here. So, no, I don't think he's going to fall. I agree with Scott. I said I would be shocked if Detroit does it. If he's available at two, I'd be shocked if they're not taking him at two. I think they would do backflips to get him.
Kayvon Thibodeau at one point about a couple of days ago was plus 250, plus 275 in some books for the number two slot. Right now, about 6 hours away for number two, Detroit, plus 120.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Here's Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Scott Wetzel.
All right, we are live in our draft coverage today on Sports Grid in about 5 hours from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Electric atmosphere. I mean, about 200,000 people in town for the NFL draft. Doesn't get better than this. We talked about the top two selections in terms of Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson. Does Hutchinson slip to the Detroit Lions in the number two hole, or maybe even the Houston Texans at number three? Kayvon Thibodeau plus 120. In the number two slot. You want to join in on the conversation, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. I'll pose this question to you with the 32nd overall pick, because this is one of these draft combo specials that they put together on FanDuel right now, and it has the Lions with a quarterback. Now, The quarterback in the top 32 is not the problem. It is the type of, and the quarterbacks mentioned in here. It is Matt Corral or Sam Howell on the top 32 for the Detroit Lions, and they're going to give you a plus 220 odds on one of those quarterbacks selected for the number 32 selection by Detroit. I mean, would you take that shot overall? I would potentially, because I'm high on Corral. I'm sitting on him in terms of minus 135 to be a top overall selection, 32 in this draft. So if I like it at minus 135 to get plus money, him or Howell isn't bad for the Lions in the 32 hole, no?
No. I think the Lions will take a quarterback at 32. My only issue is this. I don't think he'll be there at 32 as far as Corral. I think someone else will trade up ahead. I don't think there'll be any teams that are in that spot currently. It won't be Cincinnati at 31, Kansas City 29, 30, Green Bay. Now, we all those teams have quarterbacks here. But I think there'll be a team at the top of the second round that will trade back in. And I think they'll be trying to trade back in to get ahead of Detroit so that they can get that quarterback if it's Corral or Howell, whatever it might be. You know, I think they'll want to get in there and get that quarterback, whether it's Seattle. Carolina, if they don't take one at six, maybe they wait till get one of the lesser guys because they don't love anybody at six. That's what I think is going to happen here. Seattle at 41. I think once again one of those teams will trade up at maybe the Giants. With their second round pick, trade back in to get specifically to get ahead of Detroit, which means Detroit may have to trade down from 32, and maybe they got to trade up into the 25, 26 range. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, Scott, we saw Sam Howell covering in-game live how many times, right? I mean, the kid was a productive quarterback, but from year one to year number four with Mack Brown at the helm there, he regressed, especially in big games. I mean, I'd be shocked if Sam Howell cracks the top 32 tonight.
Yeah, he wasn't any good against the better teams. Those games against Notre Dame, which he really crapped the bed, really were the eye-openers for me. So you just wonder. And really, even though one shouldn't have anything to do with the other, it's performances like that that make you wonder about Kenny Pickett. Is he just a product? Is he the old Pac-12 quarterbacks, the old Stonk or Pac-8, whatever, the Achilles Smiths of the world. You just wonder, are they just a product of playing in a conference that just sucks defensively? So,
right.
I did want to ask you, Joe, who was the guy? Remember when you, I, and George were doing shows a month or two ago, and you were preaching a guy, I think it was from Auburn. I honestly don't remember that you thought was going to go number one.
It's Jordan Davis from Georgia.
Jordan Davis, the D-tackle. Walker?
No.
Maybe you hit a bullseye, but I was hearing these stories about Walker over the last week and a half.
It was his teammate. It was his teammate, right? I mean, I had the wrong Georgia Bulldog. Now, I backed it up. I lost that bet, obviously, right? But I did take, Scott, Jordan Davis and parlayed him in a couple of bets in a top 10 selection. The reason why is I did read on a couple of reports that potentially he's linked to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I think that would be a bad fit for Seattle, potentially. Yeah, I would take it. Trust me, I win the bet. But at the end of the day, I think they need to get a quarterback, right? Seattle getting a D-tackle to transform that defensive unit, that's great. But where's your quarterback of the future? You're not going to rely on Drew Locke and Geno Smith to take you to the promised land. But Jordan Davis is still being linked as a top 10 selection. And in some books, you could get him plus 390 in terms of top 10. BetMGM, I believe, has him 370 right now. So I still think he's a top 10 selection, and I really believe, guys, 2 or 3 years, even 4 years down the road, the best defensive player in this draft will in fact be Jordan Davis. I was close, Scotty. I was close, but just had the wrong Georgia Bulldog, right? Isn't that incredible in terms of that? But here's a bet, and George is on it. And George, I want to tell you this because you're on the three quarterbacks, right, and seven wide receivers. Well, FanDuel did you one better. They now gave you minus 160 odds, three quarterbacks, six wide receivers. And I got to be honest, I think the six is a dead. It's definitely six or more. So even if you like it, three plus seven, you might take a little sprinkle on the three and six wide receivers tonight.
I agree. I'm with it. I didn't see that, by the way. So, I'll sprinkle on that as well. I think the six receivers is a lock. I think there's going to be seven. And it wouldn't shock me if we get to eight. I think we're definitely going to get at least six wide receivers. Like I said, seven. I'm banking on seven here. The quarterbacks do scare me a little bit. If everyone goes, we talked about this yesterday. Well, let's just say for giggles here, Carolina passes at six. I do wonder if that goes, uh-oh. You know, you mentioned who the quarterback, the player that might drop when we talk about Hutch. Well, this could be another Aaron Rodgers situation, right, where all these quarterbacks now start to drop and no one's taking them. All right, we don't think Seattle's taking it at 9. We think they should, but they're not going to take it at 9. If the Commanders are, the Commies are pass at 11, what if Pittsburgh doesn't go for it? Everybody just says, hey, you know, we don't trust any of these quarterbacks now. That's my only worry here. But if Carolina takes it at 6, we're going to get at least 3, if not 4.
Well, that's the whole key. I said it, Scott, that Carolina holds the whole key to this draft for all the prop bets because they're at 6. And now FanDuel, and I brought this up yesterday because maybe you could add some insight. FanDuel has 2-1 odds for Kenny Pickett to go to New Orleans. They're the front runners, right? And New Orleans.
Right.
How could that be if New Orleans is picking at 16 and Carolina is at 6 and they're in need of a quarterback? I mean, tell me how Carolina is going to win with Sam Darnold if they don't pull the trigger on one of these QBs.
You would think they would. You know, the problem is that none of these quarterbacks are like really good enough to be in the top 10. I don't know if you're going to get any in the top 10, even though, as I said in my show, you can make the case that 7 teams could draft quarterbacks, right? Detroit, Houston, the Giants, Carolina, Atlanta Falcons, Seattle. So all those teams could draft quarterbacks, 7 spots, including the Giants twice. So, but, you know, teams may just say they're not worth it. I think you're going to get a ton of trades. I think the quarterbacks are going to go between 10 and 25. And I do like the over 3.5. You're getting plus 290 on FanDuel. There's no way you're not getting 4 quarterbacks taken. There's too many bad quarterbacks on teams that need QBs not to pass, you know, to pass up on these guys. Seattle, you mentioned it, Joe. Seattle might have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. When you start to think about, you know, you can make the case that the Carolina still believes in Sam Darnold. They'd be stupid too, but you know what? They do. Yeah, Atlanta's got Marcus Mariota. This team's got, you know, Washington has, Carson Wentz. You know, Seattle, are they really going into the season with Drew Lock? I mean, Drew Lock? That's who they're going to hand the reins over to? So I think if they don't take a quarterback, then the over 3.5's in trouble. But I think they will, and I think you're.
Yeah, I am curious to see if Mayfield's involved in a trade tonight as well, because that's another area where maybe Carolina they acquire Baker.
No one's taking that contract. No one's taking that contract. They know Cleveland has to drop him. They're going to have to release him. They don't have a choice. So they're going to wait. It's going to be very difficult to trade him unless they're going to give him away. You want to trade for a 6th-round pick? Sure. But he won't be a day one pick or a day two.
That is the wild card. Carolina opts out not to take a quarterback. The dominoes may fall, and Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis potentially might fall out of the top 10. When we come back, we'll break down some other teams. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Here's Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Scott Wetzel.
All right, continuing the draft day conversation, we broke down some of the top teams in the draft, like Detroit, like Houston, even the New York Giants. There is another prop bet that has juicy odds, and I know Scott loves the big bang for the buck at 13-1, Scott. It's not really out of the realm of possibility, but Titans, Steelers, and Panthers all to select a quarterback in the first round. Now, Tennessee sits at 26, and do they go for maybe Ryan Tannehill's backup? Couldn't take him to the promised land after the loss to Joe Burrow in the divisional round. Can you take that, or more importantly, would you sprinkle a little money at 13-1 on that bet?
You know, at 13-1, why not? But it's one of those, like, they're throwing it out there, so I'm going to take it. But I never would have suggested that. You know, if they said build a parlay, would you ever put Tennessee in there? Probably not. Tannehill's in the beginning of his contract. You know, they have enough holes where they do need some people. So I would see if there was a guy from Tennessee, you know, a volunteer that was there, that maybe they said, let's go get the local kid. I'm trying to find an angle on why they would use a number one pick. like I said, at 13-1, you put $10 on it. If you're a $100 player, and you're still going to win $130, so it's worth. You know, you put $100 aside, and you put 10 of those $10 bets, and maybe you hit one. But otherwise, I'd say no, right? I mean, what you think they're going to turn the page on Ryan Tannehill? I mean, they got three more years left of his contract at monster money, so probably won't happen.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we're talking about the Panthers maybe opting for like another position need, right? So that would kill that bet at the sixth overall selection right from the get-go. You know, the Steelers most likely will get that. It really hinges, I think, on Tennessee, but I don't love it at 13-1. I tell you the bet I actually do like, George, and it's just because it just doesn't seem possible. And I know nobody's really going to bet it, but one running back selected and one tight end in the first round at 12-1. Now, the under and over on the running backs is a half. I believe the same market is for tight ends. McBride from Colorado State, Breece Hall are basically the favorites at the respective positions. But I like Jelani Woods from Virginia and Kenneth Walker, but would you take that bet? Because you know the potential for a running back not to be selected until maybe round two is there, especially with ETN getting hurt last year and Najee Harris being good but not elite.
Well, I can't take it because I'm already on the under on each. I'm already on zero tight ends and zero running backs being taken in the first round. Could I see one? I know that I'd be really surprised how a running back goes. Really surprised. All right, it's just a devalued position. Right, safety is devalued on defense, running back on offense, and I understand why. Teams generally believe you can get running backs later in the draft that'll be at least good, maybe not great, but good. And for the most part, running backs are not going to have a long shelf life. Right, one contract, 4 years, that's it. And then a lot of teams believe that they're used up for the most part, unless the greatest of the great, those guys last. But for the most part, they used up. And it's a rough position. You run the ball 20 times a game, plus all the blocking. That's a lot of car crashes you're getting into. And it takes a toll on the body here. So, no. The tight end, I do wonder about the tight end, if that's a position, once again, where someone else trades up to get him. You know, trades, because tight ends are valuable. It's a throwing league.
Yeah,
because the Woods can be a blocker as well, so he can help with the running
game. Well, that's, yes. Yes.
That might
he's
skip,
6'7".
That might, right, he's a monster. He's a monster. Right, that would, as far as my bet is concerned, that I have zero. He's the one I'm worried about. He's the one I'm worried about costing me my bet.
I did take him, and you're gonna laugh, guys. But I got a good price on him. I think I got $850. Jelani Woods, first tight end selected, over Trey McBride. And the reason is he's 6'7", 250. And if you watched him in Virginia, I mean, I'd take that shot, especially when we talk about how versatile Gronkowski is and some of the – do you want more of a receiver? You want more of the guy that can maybe be an extra offensive lineman for an offense that wants to pound the rock between the tackles? That's the breakdown in terms of the tight end market you have to really assess. But at 850, plus 850, Scott, would you pull the trigger on that?
Well, let me ask, what are the odds of the running back and tight end both going in the first round? What was that one?
12-1.
Yeah, see, they're screwing you. Because if you just use, will there be a running back drafted in the first round, they're willing to give you plus 162. If you're willing to bet the over, will there be a tight end, it's plus 490. If you use a parlay of plus 490 and plus 162, it's 14.5-1.
Right.
So they're only giving you 12-1. So I look at those things. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, and you can't bet that. I will say, at least on a FanDuel, you cannot bet, you know, will there be a running back and will there be a tight end? So the fact that they're giving it to you in this prop, you know, is maybe where you're going to have to pay the price a little bit on that. So, I would take a choice. Even though I'm getting screwed here, it should be 14.5-1. But I would take a chance on that at 12-1. I would.
Yeah, you know why I would take a chance on it? Because I don't think anybody's going to bet it. They're going to put it out there, and people are going to say, wow, tight end? There's no good tight end in the draft. And maybe some team shocks somebody. Would it be Kansas City? Would it be a team that, you know, Kansas City 29 and 30?
With two,
you know, they have Kelce.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting
I'm
up
just
there
saying,
in age.
I don't know, but, you know, I mean, it could be a team like that. Now, it's not going to be a team like Philadelphia with two picks or New Orleans. I mean, they just moved Taysom Hill to the hybrid tight end position. So, I think if it's any team, it could be Kansas City. I'd be shocked if it's a team like Detroit, the Jets, or anybody else, especially in top 10. Tight end's not going from, like, picks 22 down. 22 down is where they would go, 25 right. and to 32. So, but I have him at 850. We'll see. I'm hoping. As I do the show tonight, you'll see. You'll see if I'm ecstatic. Jelani Woods, first tight end selected on day number two.
Dan Campbell, tight end. You know,
he's got look for head coaches. That's the only thing.
Listen, personally, I hate tight ends, but, you know, these head coaches love these tight ends. So you make it a double tight end offense.
Yeah, I don't think so. They got too many other needs. I don't think they're going to go for it at 32. I just don't see that. But he's a good player. All right, you say you think he could go at the end of the first round here, right, as far as Woods is concerned?
Yeah.
Which I would agree, right? I don't think it would be Detroit. Cincinnati? I don't think so, because they really got to go offensive line help there, and I think that's where they'll be. But he would help that offensive line, and they could use it there. I don't think it'll be Kansas City. You already got Travis Kelce. They need help.
Yeah, he's getting up there in age. He's getting up there. Kansas City's the one that makes a little sense because they got two first-rounders back-to-back, so they got a little bit of luxury
there. But one of those
is going
to be a wide receiver. And don't Kansas City have to take a defensive end? If one of those, if Karlaftis or something like that falls down that low, don't they have to take that defensive end? Every other team in that division now has two top defensive ends to go with their quarterback. Kansas City has one.
All right.
I think that's where they'll look there.
Yeah, you're right.
How about Green Bay? They have two.
Did you hear the rumors? Did you hear the rumors about Waller potentially going to Green Bay? There's no way Waller's going to be moved today. No way. That offense would take a significant hit. Because you have Waller, you have Davante Adams and Renfro. You have potentially one of the best trios in terms of the AFC West.
Yeah, well, why would they like Robin Peter to pay Paul? What was the point of, go getting the wide receiver from Green Bay if you're going to hand them your tight end, right? Well, what's the point?
Well, let me ask you this. Here's a bet that I think we can make some money on tonight. And I'm going to tell you because I didn't play it, but I like this, and I'll throw this out before tonight's selection. Atlanta at number 8. You look at the positional needs, guys, in terms of the breakdown. Wide receiver minus 125. Defense alignment at plus 340. Quarterback at plus 6-1 and corner at 7.5-1. That I do not believe, and I don't care what the mock drafts say, that they're going to draft a wide receiver at 8. I'm sorry, because this team has a win total of 4.5. Okay, they're going to make up for Calvin Ridley. Even if they get a wide receiver, they're not going anywhere. Okay, you pair him with Kyle Pitts. You still have major problems on the offensive line. You have major problems after this year with Mariota. 6-1 for quarterback or plus 340 for a defensive lineman, and don't laugh. Jordan Davis could be a fit for this front seven, Scott and George. I mean, would you take a flyer at 6-1, a quarterback for Atlanta?
You know, if they didn't take one last year, I don't think they're taking one this year after signing Mariota, which I get. You know, he's not long-term. I get. But they did sign him, and they did give him the starting job. So I don't think so, George. What about you?
I agree with Scott, but you told his voice, the hesitation there, and I feel the same way, because they should take a quarterback, right? Especially if there's a quarterback they like. Let's, for giggles here, once again, Pickett's the guy they like, right? And if he's there at 8, then you should take him. If they only like one guy, and if Pickett is that guy, and Carolina takes Pickett, fine, then take your wide receiver. I have no issue with that. But if you like a quarterback, then you have to take him. I don't care about Marcus Mariota. All right, you sign him. Who cares? We know he's not long term. Maybe he develops into something, but we all doubt that. I doubt he can be healthy for 17 games. All right, I doubt that very much so. I'll take the under on that any day. But, you know, like I said, if you have a quarterback in mind, he's there, you take him at 8. You can't keep passing up quarterbacks. You had the 4th pick last year, you passed up on it. 8th pick this year, you passed up on it. Now, maybe you're going to be terrible again this season. You're going to have a top 5 pick next year, but you don't know that. You can't keep passing on these cornerbacks. Literally, they will have passed on what? Depending on how many available tonight, at least 5-6 quarterbacks that were taken in the first round the past 2 seasons. Huge gamble when your team is still terrible, and you need a QB.
I'm telling you guys, this is the one bet I'm kicking myself I didn't play. I think you guys should play it. You can't bet in Vegas on the draft the day of. Guys, right. I'm telling you, plus 340, take defense, lineman, quarterback. It's a one bet. I'm looking back now. It looks too clear for me. When we come back, we'll break down who we believe could potentially surprise in the top 32. We'll come right back. We'll also break down some maybe potential win totals. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Here's Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Scott Wetzel.
All right, wrapping up the last segment of the show, we've been breaking down in the break some of these team needs, talking about the Atlanta Falcons and talking about some of the other teams. I do want to turn our attention quickly to the New Orleans guys because they've been linked to Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett respectively in terms of the team that drafts each player. So I said Kenny Pickett, front runner to New Orleans at 2-1, Malik Willis at 3-1 to New Orleans. And then when you break down the position need in terms of first overall draft pick, it has wide receiver right there with quarterback at plus 210. So we know Michael Thomas obviously is coming back this year. What's his productivity? Is he 80%? Is he 70%? Is he 100% of the player he was a few years ago with Drew Brees? We don't know. Yeah, they could be in the market for a wide receiver, but then why are they linked so heavily, George, to a quarterback? If that's the case at minus 115 for Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett, you might as well then jump on the 210 for them in terms of the first position to be drafted.
You said earlier, and I agree 100%, the first domino in this draft is really Carolina, right? That's when they go, okay, what do they do? Do they take the quarterback? Do they not take the quarterback? The second thing I'm looking for, what is New Orleans doing? When they made that trade, you don't make that trade and not know who you're going to get. That was a weird trade. They have something else in the works. Something else they're waiting for. I think they already have a trade that's done. I don't know with what team, but I think it's with a top 10 team. It all depends on if the player or players they want are available. That's what I think is going on with New Orleans. I'd be very surprised if they're staying at 16 and 19. I think they have those picks.
Good. Right. No, but I'm trying to figure out the algorithms on how they have them linked New Orleans, right, to Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis, which is negative money, right, minus 115. And we know Carolina, obviously, in six, so that would mean either A, Carolina doesn't pick a quarterback, or New Orleans jumps them to get into either the five or the four hole, or even the three hole with Houston. Okay, that I understand. But then how do you have the position odd at wide receiver plus 210? Sure, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Because
I don't think
if you're going to move up that high to get a Garrett Wilson or a Jameson Williams, you're wasting money.
Right. They're not going to trade two number ones because you can stay at 16 and you get a solid wide receiver. Right? I mean, it may not be the number one guy you want, but you'll get a good wide receiver here. If you trade 16 and 19, once again, we're going by Jimmy Johnson's chart here as far as the value chart. 16 is 1,000 points. 19 is 875. So that gives you 1,875 points. According to a chart, that pretty much gets you any pick you want from fourth on. It doesn't quite give you the third overall pick. That's 2,200 points, so you need to trade something else. Most teams do go by this chart, or at least use it as a guide here. So it gets you any pick you want. I think they're waiting on a player. And for me, guys, it's always the quarterback that when teams want to trade up like this. I think there's a quarterback they're looking for, and they're waiting to make sure that all of a sudden, what we talked about earlier, Detroit doesn't really blow our minds and they don't take Pickett. Or they don't take whoever quarterback that New Orleans might be targeting here, or someone else trades above them to get a quarterback. I think that's what New Orleans is doing. In my mind, this kind of trade that they made and the fact that they're, you don't just do that for, okay, wait at 16. It doesn't make any sense. Because when you make that trade with Philadelphia, you have no idea who's going to be there at 16. Nobody knows who's going to be there at 16. Too many other things are going to happen. They want to trade up again for somebody else, and now they're waiting to see if their player that they want, that they've targeted, maybe there's two, if that player is available at, like I said, 4 or 5.
Okay, let me pose it to Scott this way, Scott. Let's say Carolina picks an offensive lineman. Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis are available, along with, let's say, Jameson Williams for Alabama. Okay, you're in the GM spot. You got the 16, you got the 19 hole. What are you doing with the 16th overall pick? You got your two choices of quarterback, and you have one of the top wide receivers in the draft. Where are you going?
I'll take my shot at Kenny Pickett. I think he's the best quarterback on the board. So if he's still there, I would go there. I would not draft Willis. So if he was gone, Pickett was gone, I really don't like any of the other quarterbacks. Maybe your guy down at Ole Miss, but otherwise I'd take Williams, or the wide receiver from Alabama.
Can you see them just sitting pat and then taking a wide receiver at 16?
What was the point of that trade though? They didn't really
give exactly.
spots, and it just that trade didn't make any sense when they announced it. Right? It's like, what are you doing? What? You're right, George. I mean, is this a precursor to a Jimmy G trade? Jimmy Garoppolo? Is this a precursor to a Jordan Love trade? I still don't understand why Jordan Love's still on Green Bay. I mean, you just re-signed Aaron Rodgers. So you're pissing away a draft choice there. To me, you could trade him. I don't know. There's got to be something else that they're thinking of. Maybe it is one of those two guys. Maybe Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't trade. And I don't think anyone's going to trade for Baker. I think the whole NFL is pissed off at the Browns for the contract that they gave out. You're going to have to eat that $18.9 million. Screw you. Go ahead. So
I think that is so true, right. Scott. So true. Yeah. I think they're all pissed at all. I mean, you're good. This one's no other reason why we're not trading you anybody for. You're eating that contract because I think they want to strangle Cleveland for giving that guaranteed contract.
And you know what? I joked about this, guys, real quickly. I said if I'm Baker Mayfield and I really want out, I want to be able to negotiate with any team I want, right? I don't really want to be traded. So I would go to Browns, all these OTAs, and just say, oh, yeah, I'm the Browns starting quarterback. I was last year. Well, what about them signing, trading for Deshaun? So what? I'm the Browns starting quarterback. I got the TV commercials. I'm the man. You know what? I'm here. He's going to have to win the job. I would make not a stink, just a, I'm here. I'm ready to play. And, yep, it's going
to
be a battle.
That's why they have to release him. They have to release him for that reason.
He's falling right into the Browns. He's doing exactly what the Browns want him to do. Stay away. Thank goodness. Please just stay away. You want to do a couple podcasts? Go ahead. Rip us all you want. But please just don't come to camp. Don't talk to the media. Don't befriend people. Don't get a division in the locker room, please. If I'm him, I'm absolutely showing up. Oh, yeah. Give me the ball. Where are you? Where do I go, coach? Right?
Yeah, I tell you.
Watson is going to be suspended anyway. I'm the starting quarterback. You're right.
Yep.
Force their hand.
Yeah,
I tell you what. If you're Cleveland, you want him in the NFC, right? You don't want him in the AFC in any capacity. You don't want to be burned by this.
Oh,
guy.
I wouldn't care.
Saying he would do that.
I don't think I care about Mayfield. I'm taking the best offer. I don't think he's that kind of guy. This is not trading Tom Brady or Rodgers. Where you're really worried. I would have
he's
no. This is like with San Fran. I'd have no problem trading Jimmy Garoppolo in the NFC too. I don't care.
He still has experience.
Make the best offer here. I don't have an issue with that. I don't think he's that kind of player. Assuming the offers are, better. I mean, if it's the same, Joe, let's just say Houston offers a third-round pick and, I don't know, the Giants offer a third-round pick, sure, trade him to the NFC. But if it's a better offer, I'm taking the AFC offer.
All right, that's possible.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I think if I was Houston, I would want Baker Mayfield there. You could fill ass in the seats, and you, at least people will come out to see your ball club with Lovie Smith. They're not coming
Houston.
Out to.
It would have already happened.
I know.
It would have happened during the trade.
But I'm saying you're not going anywhere with Davis Mills, and in terms the team has no identity, no face of the franchise. You lost that with your Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. They traded away everybody they got, and now you're really in a major rebuild. You're not doing with a kid that at least played his ball in terms of the college and
Oklahoma, respectively. The issue that they're eating, I think it's $45 million in a cap hit by trading Watson. So if they're doing that, and then they would have had to put on Baker's $19 million, you're looking at almost $70 million in a cap hit for a quarterback. I think maybe they wanted that, man. Maybe they'll eventually do that, but to trade him and take on that money cap wise, that would come out to about almost $70 million. No team could do that.
I also think once again, Cleveland thinks they're going to get more back from Mayfield than they actually were. They probably, when that trade happened with Houston, what did Houston get? Three number ones, four number ones? They were probably, okay, we'll give you two number ones now, and you can have Mayfield. And you know, who's just like, go to hell. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing that. We want all the picks we can, because it would have also made sense for Houston to take Mayfield if they never wanted, like Scott said, if they never wanted him and then trade him again. And even reap more picks or whatever you could have gotten for him. But I think even Houston knows we're not getting a number one for Mayfield if they took him on. You're not getting that back.
Yeah, it is possible. We'll see what transpires. I still think something's going to go down tonight prior to maybe the start of the draft or when they go on the podium in terms of pick number one. I think Debo, I think somebody's on the move tonight. We'll see who it is. Oh. I mean, don't be shocked.
Jets.
Don't be shocked. Huh?
It's possible. Debo to the Jets, the number 10 pick. Number 10 pick.
I want to bring this up to Scott, because Scott, I thought about taking this bet for the Miami Dolphins. They don't have, obviously, a first-round selection number three in this draft on FanDuel. They have some crazy odds with all plus money, plus 210 for an offensive lineman, defensive lineman's 3-1, linebacker plus 340, corner 430. Running back is where I think they pick up somebody in the third round, plus 650, even though they have Chase Edmonds. Would you pull the trigger on that before the draft starts tonight?
Yeah. That's their glaring need. And it's funny, I kind of made a joke about this on my show, right? They don't really have a glaring need from a team standpoint. You know, the fans all know Tua sucks, so they need a quarterback. I get that. But they have the quarterback seemingly set. They got nothing but first and second round draft choices up across the offensive line. Defense is pretty much set. They could use a linebacker. That stud linebacker would be good. But they got their wide receiver, but they don't really have a big time running back, and, you know, unless you want to include Edmonds. So they don't really like have this glaring need. So it's kind of weird this year for them. So, right. But the running back position, as we saw from last year, is just, it's atrocious. So,
yeah, Kenneth Walker, though, I tell you, best running back in this draft, and he's now down to plus 170 to be the first running back selected. Our great producer, Andrew, are you there? How about Pittsburgh? I'll give you a shot. Who do you want in terms of the 20 selection? Just position, quarterback minus 125, O lineman 5-1, D lineman 5-1, or a corner at 6-1, Andrew?
Oh, we talked about before. I was fine with the Steelers signing Mitch Trubisky, and I was like, okay, well, that solves the short-term quarterback problem, right? But as people were talking about the draft and the Steelers' odds, were they going to trade up to get somebody, or it is that they were going to do, I think a quarterback is something that they have to look at, simply because it's really hard, at least in the things that I've noticed and the things that I've picked up on, it's harder long-term to go out and sign a veteran quarterback and actually build around him for the future rather than trying to build from within. And I think building from within is the way to go in the long term, even though it's a risk, at least in this particular draft. You know, we've talked about it before, where it's not particularly a quarterback draft this year, but I think that's the route the Steelers have to go if they're looking long term for the future.
Yeah, minus 125, it's still worth a shot, right? George, I mean, 125, it's not astronomical, a 3-1 where you're laying out 3-100. I mean, 125 is almost even money. I mean, it would take a shot to get the quarterback of the future after Mitch.
Listen, I think they're sort of in the same situation as a lot of these teams. I don't think any of these teams love all three quarterbacks that have been talked about in the first round, right? But if there's the one guy you like, whether it be Pickett or Willis, Corral, whatever it might be, if that one guy is there at 20, you have to take him. Would I trade up to get him? Probably not. And Steelers aren't really known for doing that anyway. But if the guy that you've been targeting, okay, we like Pickett best, if he's there at 20, I think they should grab him, yes.
All right, when we come back, we'll each throw out a best bet for later tonight. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, and Scott Wetzel coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, wrapping up today's show here. We're going to throw out some best bets. I've been talking all week about players. Go to the podcast, take a listen to those. But two team needs that I like, I'm going to throw it out. I can't bet this now in Vegas. Atlanta first pick, quarterback selected, 6-1, or D lineman, D tackle, plus 350. And then New England guys, first player selected in terms of position, wide receiver, plus 340. They don't go that in terms of pick number 21. Bill Belichick and the Patriots aren't making the playoffs this year. I really believe that.
All right, that's not bad. I'll give you two real quickly. I still think we're going to get four quarterbacks. I think that's the best underdog bet. You know, plus 290 now on FanDuel. It's been at 3.5 for the longest time, but I think you're getting four. And I'm going to go over a solid bet, over 6.5 wide receivers. That's the new position now. Everyone's stride. That's the position you reach for, even maybe more so than quarterbacks. There's no way you're not getting seven wide receivers drafted this year in the first round.
George. Yeah, that's my favorite bet by far with Scotty there. Actually, I like both your bets, Scotty. I'm on both as well here. I don't think it's going to be a running back taken in the first round. I'm on that as well. And I kind of like the one that Joe brought up, which I didn't see before. I'm sure to see it now. No running back and no tight end the first round. I'm going to be on that as well.
No. Oh, I'm on the other one. I said a running back and a tight end.
He said they will.
Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I don't think either one. I just don't see it. I just don't. The tight end scares me more. I said I do wonder if someone likes Woods that much if they go for him. But I'd be surprised.
The first overall pick, George. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Breece Hall.
Well, at least then it's over quick, right? It's over quick to do that. Please. Don't torture me.
Tune into Sports Grid's coverage 7 hours from now, live from Vegas. For Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz, and our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. I'll see you later tonight. Have a great day, everyone.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.